The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, we're back.
We are back.
Mark's just pioneered off.
Mark had to dash off, but we've got another fabulous guest to talk to shortly. We're going to talk to Natalie Benaig of Kent Creative Arts very shortly, but I've got a couple of messages that I want to tell you about. I've had an email and it says, "Hello, my name is Rebecca and I'm a second year paramedic student at Bournemouth University. I've been fascinated by paramedicine for as long as I can remember and I'm passionate about making a difference to those in need. I've been faced with a fantastic opportunity with a company called Work the World that provides international healthcare internships. This is to go to Ghana in Africa for a 3-week long international placement. During this, I will be working in a low-resource hospital in the emergency department. I'll be faced with a whole range of different patients, which will broaden my knowledge both clinically and culturally. I am trying to raise £2,500 to fund the trip and the medical insurance that I'll need. To raise this, I'll be completing different fundraising events throughout the year. My main fundraising event will be walking 20 miles along the coast, and I'm going to be competing with my mum. I want to go to a developing country to learn how to provide medical treatment in a low resource environment. It will help me in my future career to think more outside the box when faced with difficult situations. It will also allow me to understand different cultures and beliefs. This trip will push me out of my comfort zone and will allow me to become a better paramedic in the future. If you'd like to help Rebecca on that journey, you can do so by going to her GoFundMe page, and it's gofundme.com/paramedic placement to Ghana. That's gofundme.com/paramedic placement to Ghana. Do support Rebecca in this endeavor because it's a fantastic thing that she is doing.
And we've had a great tweet from our famous window cleaners, Jade WCCC. You'll find them on the Twitter at Jade Window Clean. And they're saying, "We'd love a shout out." And they've used the Business Bunker hashtag, which is BBunker. "We're out today repairing gutters for a care home after our camera system spotted some damage. Wow. We're in a cherry picker getting it done in Chislehurst. Don't worry about the height. We'll get it right," they say. So, and there's some great pictures there that you can see them up there with their little cherry picker.
Fantastic. Kim Stevens of Caring Kent has tweeted. She says, "I'd love a shout out with some lovely little pink hearts. I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker Show. Do you know someone that loves helping others, has a passion for the welfare of others and would make a great carer? Maybe caring is their calling. If you'd like to work in the care sector in the Ashford area, please call Amy today on Ashford 01233 619530 or follow Kim at Care in Kent on the Twitter."
And Paragon Drones have droned in to tell us, "Morning gang, we would love a mention, thank you. We'll have to catch up on banter and business on Thursday. Have a fantastic show." And you can find them on the Twitter at Paragon Drones. And their website, if you're not on Twitter, is paragondrones.co.uk.
Chips and Dinks have tweeted, "Keep warm in the Business Bunker studio today, Paul and Jules and guests. It's a tad chilly out there and have another great show," they say. And they posted a gif of a cat laying in front of a fireplace.
Oh, well, actually,
belly up.
I've just seen a friend of mine, Gemma Heaney, who's in Ireland. She's invited all her baby lambs in to sit by the log burner. It's a lovely picture.
Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. She's chopping up carrots as we speak. Yeah. Stephanie Young. You know, Steph?
Yeah, where is she? She's in Canada.
She's in Canada at the moment. Yeah. When I put out the morning tweet, on Tuesdays I do have a terrific Tuesday to the Twitter, and she says, "I love the way you call us the Twitter."
Yeah, the Twitter. And Blue Moxie Agency, I was just having a look. So it's also Matt Dorrington on the Twitter. He's an SEO consultant. He's a managing director as well of Blue Moxie Agency. So hello to you. Good morning.
And the lovely Sarah Marsh Collins has tweeted. She said, "I'll be catching up as much as possible between meetings today. Listen to the Business Bunker from frosty, freezing Devon."
I bet it's beautiful, though.
Yeah, I bet it's lovely. I bet it's. I don't know if you noticed in the last freeze, the last couple of days, if you drive down by the hedgerows,
yeah,
there's this lovely display of icicles where the hedgerows have dripped off the flowers. Have you noticed
lovely.
That?
Well, much nicer than that coming from somebody's nose, you know, that vision.
yeah,
but
absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. And I do like frost as long as it's not too slippery. Mm. My Twitter's being slowed, of course. I've got that sign all the time. Can't refresh.
Chips and Dinks have obviously seen the picture of my new blue Mercedes because they've sent me a picture of one that's been damaged. Yeah. They say before and after, we worked our magic, and happy customers are what we care about. Airbrush damage on a blue BMW. I have to know that Bev and Tony do a fabulous, fabulous job.
They did.
I always recommend them. They've done some fantastic work for us in the past.
The good thing about them is that with my alloys that I drove there, left my car there for 4 hours, which gave me 4 hours to go to a really nice country pub that they recommended and have a little lunch.
Right.
So that was great. I do like where they live. It was very nice.
Cool.
So we have a local plan review, which has been given a green light to move to the next stage. It's Maidstone Borough Council, and they've received confirmation that the first stage of its local plan review examination in public has been successful and will proceed to stage two. In a letter to the local planning authority, the government appointed inspector Mr. David Spencer confirmed that he thinks the overall spatial strategy, which forms the basis of the plan and was very much the focus of the one-stage hearings, is sound, subject to modifications, and that the examination can now proceed to stage two later in the year. So if you want to find out more about this local planning authority, you can go to www.maidstone.gov.uk/stayconnected.
Fantastic. I want to tell you about two events that are coming up early in February. There's Westerham Networking. We hope you can join us on the 8th of February at the Westerham Brewery for our first Westerham-focused networking meeting of 2023. Please spread the word and invite any business contacts based in and around Westerham as a guest. That's the Seven Oaks Chamber. And the Seven Oaks Chamber have also got a business booster seminar on February the 9th. 10:30 to 12 at your favourite place, Jules.
Where?
Bat and Ball Station.
Oh, lovely. Yeah,
it's the ultimate guide to navigating uncertainty and change with Denise Holland. Both of those events, you can find out more and book your place by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
Smashing. There's a luxury, I like the sound of this, a luxury glass-fronted treehouse set in the heart of Essex has opened its doors to guests.
Essex?
Yes.
Sussex.
Oh, Sussex, sorry. East Sussex. It's because I'm an Essex girl.
Because she's an Essex girl. She tried to purloin that, Natalie. You see what she did there?
I would love it.
Luckily, I'd read the email before her and I knew it was in Sussex.
Did you write this one yourself?
No, I didn't.
It's set in the heart of East Sussex and it's opened its doors to guests with support from a £200,000 HSBC UK funding package. Does that mean a loan?
No, it's funded.
It's funded.
It's funded.
So is it a grant?
Yeah.
Okay. Looking Glass Lodge utilised the £200,000 funding package from HSBC UK to construct a striking nature inspired 49 square metre treehouse at its 8-acre site near Fairlight in Hastings. Set in ancient woodland, not the Weald, but another one.
Yes, it is.
Is it the Weald as well?
It's ancient woodlands. It's part of the Weald.
Goes right the way to Hastings.
It does.
Who knew?
Me.
In an area of outstanding natural beauty, just like you.
Yeah, yeah.
The lodge is designed to connect guests with nature. The HSBC UK funding allowed the lodge's owners to use local businesses and craftspeople to carry out large parts of the development. Elements include wildflowers and key rings were also sourced locally, as well as most of the materials used in the construction. Lindsay and Rick Goodman, who are directors and owners at Looking Glass Lodge, said the completion of this project is the culmination of very much hard work, but seeing the bookings coming in makes it all worthwhile. So good. I fancy going there.
Right. Shall I just let's get this out of the way about the Weald, because we'll get this out of the way and then we'll talk to Natalie. Yeah,
here's your geography lesson.
The Weald is an area of forestry.
Yeah.
Stretching roughly 120 miles.
Yeah.
From Portsmouth round to Hastings.
Yeah.
And north to just below Canterbury. And the foothills of the North Downs, okay? Its Anglo-Saxon name was Andred's Weald. Mm. Okay, Weald just means forest.
Who's Andred?
Andred's Weald. Somebody called Andy.
Okay.
Okay.
Andy.
And it was heavily forested for many thousands of years until they started cutting it down for charcoal burning and all the rest of it. Most of the forest has gone, but there are still patches of it left. Where I live in Tenterson, there's still patches of the original Weald left, and in various places like Ashdown Forest and stuff like that are still parts of the old Weald, but most of it has now gone.
Okay, so maybe where it's gone, that's where my hills and dales come in.
No, there are no hills and dales there. It's the flat valley area below the North Downs and the South Downs.
So bizarre, because somebody told me that I live in the Weald of Kent with all the views, you know. The Weald of Kent,
yeah.
With all the views.
Yeah, well, there's loads of views because it's flat.
Okay.
And the trees have all gone.
I'm going to do a pilgrimage to all these places.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Hastings, actually.
And just for what it's worth, the reason that there are so many places that end in the word den, so Marden, Tenterden, all the rest of it,
yeah,
they're all Anglo-Saxon names for a farm in the woods.
Oh, okay.
That's what den means. Mm. So Tenterden means the farm of the people of Thanet.
Oh, really? Thanet?
In the woods, yeah.
And still they build.
Sorry?
Still they build. Build. Building everywhere.
Yeah, but all not over. Farms so and not in the Weald.
Exactly. Well, the farmers are selling off for building.
Yeah, yeah.
Now.
So that's what den means, and that's why there are loads of places in Kent and East Sussex that end in the word den.
Thank you for that.
That's all right.
Saxon.
I thought I'd tell you.
Yeah. No, I love that because now I know.
Right. Now, we're going to do something sensible now. We're going to talk to somebody highly sensible.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to the lovely Natalie Benaix. And Natalie, it's a pleasure to welcome you back onto the Business Bunker show. You have been on the show before, but a long, long time ago. But, of course, you used to do a show on this very station, did you not?
I did.
Yeah, which was very, very popular.
Thank you. Well, yes, but it's still sort of there.
Right.
There is something of it that's left.
Yeah.
Because we kept the podcast going for a while.
Yeah.
Still doing it, but now it's turning into a YouTube channel.
Right, okay. Mm.
So
that's fantastic. So
with cameras and things.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Short films. The Kent Creative Show, it's called.
Fabulous.
Kent Creative Show channel.
Fabulous.
We'll talk about that in a minute, and absolutely. You can give out the address so that people can come and watch. Natalie runs Kent Creative Arts, yeah, and you work in the arts business. Why don't you, give us an overview of what you do and what Kent Creative Arts is all about and some of the things you do, because I've kind of lost touch because, like so many things, with the lockdown and everything, things came to an end because you were doing the wonderful Faversham Photographic, what was it, 365?
Yeah, 365, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not sure where you are with that because, obviously, okay. You probably had to close like everybody else during the lockdown. But give us an overview of what Kent Creative Arts is all about and some of the projects that you've got coming up.
Okay, so Kent Creative, now called, we dropped the arts for easier use.
Right.
So Kent Creative, well, what we do is we help promote what creative people do in Kent.
Right.
That's the wide mission, which is something I feel I have to do. So we do that in different ways. There is the most recent thing we do is an online directory called Culture in Kent,
right?
Where you have two types of people, creative people, art organization, artists, people who make art or run creative businesses, can post their profile on there. So it's like a mini website, mini page, with everything on there. And they can also promote their event.
Okay.
So it's aimed at being the only place in Kent, the one place to check for what's going on in the county.
Okay.
So it's just starting, so it's very early days. So we are adding content to it. But then, of course, the other side of it is people like you and me wanting to go around the county looking for events.
Right.
You would look in the directory to find out what's going on where. So say you want to look for an exhibition in Margate next weekend or a concert in Maidstone or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can also use it to find skills. So a web designer in Faversham or a photographer in Tunbridge Wells, things like that. So I'm aiming at making it quite comprehensive. So why not being ambitious?
That's good. I mean, we talk about creative and the arts and culture and things like that. And I don't think people always quite understand just how
wide that is.
How wide it is and how much creativity goes into the economy and the value of creativity to the economy.
Mm. Well, I mean, obviously, I would say that, but I think it's quite massive and it's important at many levels. But yes, bizarrely, many people do not see how big it is. Mm. And yet it's obvious in everyone's life.
Yeah.
We are surrounded by it. Mm. I mean, ask people to live their lives without music, yeah. without going to the cinema, without theater,
yeah.
without photographs,
yeah.
without anything on their wall, without any
TV, radio, designed. Yeah, absolutely.
Everything that we have from morning to evening in our lives has something creative to it. In terms of businesses, website design, graphic, exactly. graphic design, photography, yeah. Yeah. all of this is just absolutely essential.
Yeah.
And then it's difficult for people, I feel, to see the value of it, which is something I never quite went round, actually.
It is odd, isn't it? And you get these old curmudgeons that will moan about people doing creative degrees at university and media degrees, and they go, oh, well, there's no point. Actually, there is a big point, because there are 3 trillion websites alone in the world, and they all need content and they all need graphics.
Yeah. And even before that, I think the kids at school should be not told that art and creativity has no point, because it develops a creative mind that helps everywhere else.
Yeah.
And we know that. We know that people who do art and creative art, children at school, have better results in other subjects.
Absolutely.
I quite believe that. It helps them, you know, think in different ways, being more imaginative. So it completely fails to me why it's not valued more than it is.
Right.
But obviously there are different levels. You know, I understand that sometimes other things come as a priority, but still it's hugely valuable. And then the other thing is what you touched on is the impact on the economy in other ways. So we know that entertainment, creative activities, arts events actually attract people in an area, and they end up spending money in local restaurants. And also, don't forget that all these people actually employ people. So we work with printers, with accountants, with all sorts of other businesses who get jobs out of that. So
absolutely,
it's quite massive.
Yeah,
more than people think.
Absolutely, and because people don't understand that, They can dismiss it as something frivolous or trite or whatever, and it's not. It is a massively important part of the economy for all kinds of reasons. I just want to come back to what I was saying and just catch up with you, because we haven't really talked very much in the last couple of years, Natalie, because of one thing and another happening. And I used to come regularly to your Faversham 365 exhibition at the end of every year, because it was fantastically beautiful, brilliant.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you doing it still? Are you coming back to doing it? Are you moving on?
Okay, yes. A few things happened. So the last one where the previous one you came to in Faversham in 20... Well, we had one in Faversham. The last one was 2018.
Right.
Is that when you came?
No, I came to that one, yes. Yeah.
But then when COVID hit, what happened is, because I have a family responsibilities in France.
That's your mum, isn't it?
Yes.
Your mum, I remember.
So there were different things going on. So I stayed in France a long while.
Yeah.
Mm. So I did a 365 over there in my
hometown.
Oh,
did you?
Yeah.
What's your hometown?
It's Sceaux.
Right.
And it's near Paris, in the south suburbs of Paris. That's where I grew up. I spent the first 20 years of my life there.
So did you do 365 solo?
Yeah. So it was a year in the life of Sceaux.
Oh, fantastic.
And it was a really interesting experience for me, because it was my hometown, so I reconnected with all sorts of things and people. Absolutely loved it.
Right.
It was also a completely different way of working from England, because of the role of mayors and the power the mayor has.
Yeah.
So here, you don't go and see the mayor and then they give you everything you need to run a nice project. So, but over there, they do.
Yeah.
So it was the mayor was really keen on it. He went, yes, let's do it. We'll help you. They put a lot in. They opened all sorts of other doors.
Right.
And now what happened is, it was meant to be indoors, but because of COVID, we had to do it outside. So it was in the park. But it was lovely. And as a result of that, a couple of years later, recently, the There are two big schools in Sceaux. One I went to from the age of 10 to 18, where I had my baccalaureate. And it's a history teacher there who saw the book we produced the previous year for the town. And so that's great. Why don't we do that in the school? So she talked to the school's director. He said, yes, brilliant idea. So we did it in the school.
Oh,
the
brilliant.
Whole school year.
Okay.
It was fantastic. So
that's fantastic. It's just so that people know.
Yes, sorry, we haven't explained what it is.
You have to explain how it happens and what it is and
absolutely.
What it does.
You're right,
yeah.
It was so obvious. Well, the principle of the 365 is a photo project where several people get involved. So it's a community, so either a town or a school now,
yeah.
where people take pictures every year for 365 days to record the life of that place, that town or that community.
So it's random people with a camera.
Yeah.
Take a picture every day of something going on in their town, village or school.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it gives you a whole portrait of a place.
Of life.
Of life. Mm. So it's. I always insist on having people doing things. So people at work, at home, the things that not everyone can see sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, behind the scene things. And it's low. I mean,
It's a brilliant thing. And you make it into a book eventually, do you not?
So it's an exhibition and a book.
Yeah.
So in the French town, we did the exhibition and the book. In the school, we only did the book.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. We did a crowdfunding campaign for that raised 3 or 4 times more than what we expected. There was 200 people turned up at the launch of the book, and it makes people feel really... You can tell they like the
part
place,
of the
town,
community.
The school,
But it's also a fantastic historical record.
It's for the future, as they say.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I always think... you know, in 100 or 200 years, when people will see these collections of books, because we did 11 projects like that, it's all organized in order, it's curated, it's presented. It's not, because obviously now we have billions of people, photographs taken every day, but this is put in some kind of order.
It's got a structure to it.
It's a book.
Yeah, and it's a book showing you every single day in Faversham or in your town in France or in your school in France. But sticking to the Faversham one, because that's the one I've been to, you have an exhibition of these photographs once a year in which you give us all little bits of cheese and wine and stuff like that, and it's all very lovely. But the book is the main thing because that's the historical document.
And it stays.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to do both.
Yeah.
So I'm transferring this idea of doing it in schools.
Right. In the UK?
In the UK.
Okay, cool.
So putting together something and try and do it in school.
Interestingly, Facebook, the big social media platform, was an idea that spun out from American schools having, what do they call it, a yearbook. Yeah, which wasn't something we ever really did in the UK. It's starting to come into the UK, but in American schools, in US schools, each year group had a book that they produced at the end of the year that had a photograph of all the kids in. And that's where Facebook kind of grew as a thing. I don't. Do you have that kind of thing in France? No, we didn't have it in the UK.
It's not American,
then. Yeah. But basically, what you're talking about here is like a yearbook for the whole school, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is a fantastic idea.
Well, that would show a lot more than just people's faces. So
Absolutely. It's the life of the school.
And
yeah.
for, obviously, it could be transported in everything. It could be done for a business or, you know, any organization. It's a really good marketing tool as well. So
that's
how the school used it in France. And that's what their feedback shows.
Right, okay.
It got people together.
Tool.
Yeah, because first it got people together behind the same project for quite a long while. Mm. But now it's done. It shows what the school is about, and it shows all the positive sides, and they use it as a marketing tool.
Are you doing 365 Faversham currently?
No.
No.
At the moment, there isn't one. It's not every year. In Faversham, we only did it. It was every 3-4 years.
I just wanted to ask you, when you were in France and you said that you received, you know, such enthusiasm, do you find it better in France for this kind of thing? Or
Well, Yes and no. It's different.
Oui,
you see?
Et non.
Yeah, oui et non. Well, in terms of working with a local authority, it's much easier in France.
Why? Pourquoi?
Because in France, I'll stick to the example of this town, but the mayor has a power.
Yeah.
He makes decisions. He or she makes decisions.
Yeah.
With, obviously, other people, not necessarily on his own, although he could. So if you talk to the mayor and then another two, three people, and they like the idea of something, they could decide on the spot to do it. And they actually have a budget. They're responsible for many things in the town. They're actually responsibilities that are quite high. So they manage the town.
So the mayors are more powerful than the mayor in the UK.
There's no comparison.
Yeah, without any shadow of a doubt. And it's a little bit of a fiefdom, isn't it? Because even here, where you have a local council, the council gets bogged down in endless debates.
Yeah.
In France, the mayor is the arbiter of everything. Yeah. You go to the mayor and the mayor goes, we're doing it.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no debate about it.
Great.
The mayor has decided to do it.
So, for example, the 365 project over there, they bought 300 books from us to put in the tourist centre.
Right.
Excellent.
So when people go there, they can buy a book from the tourist office.
And here in Faversham, Canterbury area, they didn't do that.
No.
And you told them that France had used them in the tourist
sector? Yeah, but it doesn't. Well, it's just the weather system is.
The system's completely different.
They couldn't do it. I mean,
okay.
So, but anyway, but the 365 is the kind of nice little community thing, but it's bizarrely slightly on the side of the main mission of Can Creative.
Right.
But it still does it because you see, that's one way how creativity and art shows. So it's important for people.
Absolutely. So you've got this project, which you just described to us about having your Kent Creative directory.
Yep, the directory.
Can creative people list themselves in that directory?
Yep.
Is there a cost for them doing it?
So at the moment, both the profiles and the events have a free and paid subscription.
Right.
For an event, it's £12 per event, and for a profile is £25 a year.
Right.
For that's a basic one. We're going to come up with a different package for profiles with a lot more to it,
right,
and more live interaction between people,
okay,
which I think is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the early days. So, and also we'll have eventually some sponsors, because that's one of my big thing as well, is to connect art, creativity and businesses, because I think we both benefit and you can get this triangle where everyone wins. So that's another way of connecting businesses to what we do, is to give them exposure through our event. Now it could be through the directory. And it's also attending some of our more private events, where kind of networking thing where, you know, the best of art and culture in Kent meet, so and they can come and talk to them. But the directory would be a good way to have more of an advertising kind of exposure. So this is the. But we also run events, so not too many, but there are a couple that are there really to showcase people's work. So we have a designer fair every December at Turner Contemporary.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, it must have been once at least, I think.
Yeah.
And we try also to have every year a group exhibition. So the next one will be upstairs in the B&E in Canterbury.
Right.
Next year.
Yeah, okay.
So all of that, we do a mix of sponsorship. We still get some grants as well, but I want that to be as minimal as possible. And I really focus on businesses to sponsor it and get actively involved in the events and benefit from meeting people and showing what they do in return for its marketing exposure.
Yeah.
Really. So
that's fantastic.
And that's what you said earlier about art and creativity. Another thing that shows people don't always see the things I see, which is where the struggle is about demonstrating the value of things. But
yeah, but funny enough,
businesses think I run a charity, you know.
Yeah, funny enough, I still promote on social media a blog you wrote a few years ago about the power of cultural sponsorship.
Mm.
And I still post that out on a regular basis for people to read because it's a very powerful thing. Natalie wrote a blog explaining why cultural support is a valuable thing from a marketing point of view.
Yeah.
Which is very true.
Mm.
And, you know, businesses kind of do it without really, you know, they, a business will come across something that the business owner kind of fancies, you know, like, oh, I like that. So I'll support that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And they know it works, but they kind of support the things that they kind of like the look of.
Yeah.
Without actually thinking about it in a broader sense about how valuable that is as a marketing tool. And how, you know, getting involved in something different can be a way of moving your marketing out of a focus marketplace into a broader marketplace because, you know, you've got different tribes of people, haven't you? Without being too silly, but trying to use very different views. Someone supporting their local
football team
versus somebody supporting
a local artist.
I was thinking of like a classical concert or something.
Yeah.
You know, incredibly different cultural things, but both cultural things. And if you move from one to the other, you're actually bringing in a completely different tribe of potential customers to the ones that you would normally have, if you see what I mean.
Football team.
And that's the power of it. They're two really ridiculously different groups of people. But that's the beauty for me of supporting cultural events.
And it's not just supporting that, because it completely depends on what you get for your sponsorship. And, for example, a logo on a flyer is not quite enough.
Yeah.
So you get more value if you have opportunities to meet people. So say it's for an exhibition with important artists. When I say important, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then if you're a sponsor, you'll be invited to the private view. You'll be meeting people who are influential, other businesses. That is going to have more of an impact than a logo, or it's going to have an impact as well, let's say. But it's different. And that's where sponsorship is very powerful. It's not just a logo, far from it.
Absolutely. I mean, many years ago, I sponsored and part funded a small movie. A small local movie, and the opportunities that came out of that were enormous, because it wasn't just sponsoring the movie and going and watching them making the movie and going to the premiere of the movie, which happened in Leicester Square and all the rest of it, and meeting all those other people that were around it. But there were lots of different things that happened, and different groups of people I met through the 18 months it took to make that project happen. So absolutely.
So you see, you're talking about the film. I know we'll mention it later, but the film night we are doing in 2 weeks' time, for instance, the sponsor is a Creekside Vinyl, which is Simon.
So it's in Faversham High Street, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Mm. And he's sponsoring the film night because there is a live piano there. So he's got his logo on the flyer.
Right.
But the biggest value is he's going to be there on the evening.
Yeah.
He's going to interview Stephen Horn, who's the pianist, and he's going to talk to everybody in the room who will know who he is.
Right.
That's more valuable than just a logo. Which takes me on to another way of sponsoring an event you would get. Let's say you would sponsor an event like that. Part of your sponsorship, you might get 10 tickets. So what can you do with that? Do you invite your clients or people you want to work with? You give them a really good time and they associate you with having fun and having a really good evening and they remember you. And that's more efficient for the price of a ticket.
And I just need to say, on that fantastic sales note that Natalie's just done, all of what she said also applies to the Business Bunker radio show.
Absolutely.
So if you wanted to sponsor us, what she just said really does work with us too. Yeah. No, absolutely. Now, I want to just explore this this film night that you're doing in a bit more depth, so because it's an interesting concept. Tell us more about the silent movie.
Okay, so we've done it a couple of times and it's so much fun.
Right.
Again, in a way, I use it also to invite people, you see, because it's just giving people a really good night. So the idea is to have, there is a total about 2 hours of silent movies, so that's Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton and others, who are projected on the screen in the cinema at the Gulbenkian. And in the room is Stephen Horne, who's a pianist who specializes in this kind of event.
Because it's quite specialist, isn't it?
It is quite specialist, because there is a lot of improvisation involved. So,
Does he have a score, or does he make it up?
Oh, no, he makes it up. Well, the thing is, he says he's done it so many times.
Yeah.
He knows the film, but it's got no music in front of him. It's not something he's repeating. He's got his piano, and not just the piano, he plays the flute as well and the accordion, sometimes the piano with one hand and the flute with the other.
Wow.
Amazing. And the screen is there, and he's got to time his music with what's going on in the film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The speed of it, the nature of whether it's dramatic, romantic, funny. So, and what I really love is that you've got the whole room of people laughing sometimes, and there are not many things that beat it. It really is good fun.
Yeah.
So this time we'll have at the end of it, Simon from Creekside Vinyl will be running a Q&A with the pianist.
Fantastic.
Getting some response from the audience as well. So
brilliant. Brilliant. It sounds like a fantastic event.
It's really good fun.
When's it taking place and where's it taking place? It's at the Gulbenkian Theatre, which is on the campus of the University of Kent in Canterbury.
Correct.
Yep.
And it's on Saturday, the 4th of February at 6 o'clock.
Fantastic.
In the evening.
We have got a blog about that with a link to book it all on the Kempis's Radio. If you go to kempisradio.co.uk/calendar, you will find it there and you can click the links to it and book your tickets and go along and do it. So do that. Natalie, thank you so much for that and for sharing all that. We've got to shout out a couple of your website addresses for both the directory and Kent Creative itself. Okay. So give us a shout for those.
So Kent Creative is www.kentcreative.org and Culture in Kent, guess what? Cultureinkent.org.
Fantastic. Voilà.
And on both of them, you'll find the contact details. You can find all the social media.
And the date again for your silent movie?
Saturday, the 4th of February.
So it's 2 weeks' time. You can find Natalie's websites on the Kempis's Radio website as well. They are listed there on the homepage currently, and then they will appear in the archive in past shows after we've gone off air later today. Natalie, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to see you. Keep on keeping on doing what you're doing. I know you will anyway. And you're now doing it all over Europe.
international.
Spin out of a business that started in Faversham, which is fantastic. All power to you. What you do is fantastic, and it really brings the whole cultural scene into focus for so many people. So
thank you.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you. We haven't got very long left of the show, and we've got a few things to catch up on. What you got, Jules?
Well, Folkestone and Hythe Sustainable Futures Forum.
Right.
These TEDx style events are designed to spotlight local small businesses, community groups and individuals with an environmental and related social idea. These events are supported by Folkestone and Hythe District Council, and they're free to join. So the next one is Wednesday the 25th of January at the Hythe Business Hub at 10 a.m. Do you know where what the Hythe Business Hub is, Paul?
I don't know. Sorry, I just got a tweet about something I tweeted last night, which is the only reason it's apposite is I'm a Chelsea football supporter. And somebody made a point last night about French players. We've suddenly just bought two or three French players. And somebody's going, well, that's unusual. And I just gave a list of all the Frenchmen that had played for us, which is quite a long list.
Right.
And people are now deciding, I didn't realise they were French, or I didn't realise this.
They've got names like David Peters and things.
No.
Not very French names.
The current manager of the French national team, Didier Deschamps, was a Chelsea player.
That sounds very French.
Dear old Frank Leboeuf.
Leboeuf sounds like a beef to me.
It is.
Yeah.
Was he? His family must have been butchers then, originally.
I don't know.
Must have been.
He was a bit brutal as a player, so they probably were.
Because I've been listening to Natalie, I'm just thinking now about Cremon. Cremon, of course, is like champagne, but they don't call it champagne. But you can get some really good Cremons. How do you say Cremon in French? Do your accent.
You're saying it really well.
Really? You say
it? Yes.
You say it?
You have a very sweet accent.
You say it, come on.
Crémant.
Oh, see, Crémant. She says it properly.
Ooh la la.
We will put details of the Folkestone and Hythe Sustainable Futures Forum, which is on Wednesday 25th on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. There's also Small Business Meetups, which is an event at Canterbury Christchurch University. That's on the 15th of February at 10:30 a.m. And this networking event features a business coach delivering a session on confident communication, a talk on three barriers to commercial confidence, and a workshop for sales for non-sales people. There's a good one. We end up with a demonstration on the new cutting edge Rococo motion capture suits. Whatever that is.
Right, okay. Yeah,
everybody Googling that now. Rococo motion capture suits. That's R-O-K-O-K-O. Refreshments are provided and the opportunity to network with amazing businesses.
I think they've made that up.
It's a Rococo motion capture suit. Book your tickets by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and look on events there or calendar.
I've got some more events. There's Tunbridge Town Networking. Tunbridge and Morling Council and the Tunbridge Town team are running a business networking event which takes place on Tunbridge Castle. Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
From 6 to 8pm on the 30th of January. There's plenty of parking nearby. To sign up for this free event, please email the town team. Please be advised to wear comfortable footwear and warm clothing if you would like a tour of the castle. Have you ever been to Tunbridge Castle?
No.
People don't realise it's a medieval castle.
I didn't even know there was one there, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And guess what?
What?
I didn't make this up. It was the centre of operation for Willikin and the Weald.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. It's lovely when history comes together, isn't it?
Together. Well, Wayne Cunnington has just said to Natalie, silent movies are a reminder of yesteryear and brings to mind of the artist from a few years ago, Natalie. And he says, I've also been a fan of the French musician Jean-Michel Jarre for many years. A very international business bunker today, guys.
Yeah, yes, it's interesting, isn't it, that silent movies... and the silent movie stars are nearly 100 years old now, you know, from the 1920s and
more,
before.
More than that, yeah.
And yet we still know their names, Fatty Arbuckle, Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, you know, hundreds and hundreds of...
there were some female stars, weren't there, as well? I'm seeing a blonde. They had that beautiful blonde...
I have to say, straight away, I'm not an expert of all these silent movies.
Well, we'll have to bone up on it.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I have to brush that. But what is striking is we haven't invented that much since. You know, they did it all. It's extraordinary. Yeah. All these kind of special effects. And and they're genius. Genius.
Hey, Paul, there's a meeting of Marsh Network in East Sussex and Kent. And we've got lots of listeners there now.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
So any of you fancy going
along? It's at Pet, isn't it?
It's at Pet Village Hall at 10:30 a.m. on Tuesday the 7th of February. 10:30, see, we couldn't do that because of bunker.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have to do an evening.
We'll have to move. We'll have to move it to a different day.
They will.
Well, come on, Terry, move it.
They could do an evening one. The meeting is now co-sponsored by the FSB, Federation of Small Business, as one of their face-to-face networking events, and we thank them for their support. First time has come free. If you have customers, suppliers or contacts who would like to attend this Marsh Network East Kent, East Sussex and Kent at Pet Village Hall on the 7th of February, please get in contact. There's an email if you're not on Twitter. So it's terry@botfield.net for a free ticket. And also if you are on Twitter, it's at TDBotty, B-O-T-T-Y.
Absolutely.
Had to get that in.
We Do Social Media are running a LinkedIn mini training workshop every Wednesday at 9:30, and it's online, and you can find out all about it and book your place on it by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. Also, Sevenoaks Chamber, join us on the 1st of February for our first Wednesday networking meeting, sponsored by and hosted at Sevenoaks School. The head teacher, Jesse Elzinger, will give an update, and you'll get a chance to see the amazing sports facilities which are now available to the public. And we'll be raising money for Sevenoaks Larder, which is a food bank, with our business card draw. The school have kindly donated two tickets to a Royal Opera House performance at the space. The space is Sevenoaks School's theatre, and I staged an event there, a televised event, for a Brexit debate back in 2016. And it's a fantastic, fantastic theatre as part of the school there. What else you got, Jules?
Well, there's a town centre strategy for Maidstone. I think I read that one, actually. I'm not quite
I think
sure.
You did.
It sounds familiar. Yeah. So there's a Kent Virtual Networking. Mary Enialu, how am I saying it? Enialu of Can Do for Academy is hosting a free FSB Connect online event. And these Kent events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owners. So everyone's welcome. It's virtual online and it's Wednesday the 25th of January at 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. So it's an hour and that's the Can Do Academy. There's also a Women in Business Mastermind. It's a round table by On a Dog Walk event. I think we did that one, Balfour Winery, so it's a little thing, a little ditto. Make sure your profits stay yours. This is presented by Kent Fraud.
You've done that as well.
How come we've got doubles here? Going
because you've read through them twice, probably.
No, I think you read that one about
fraud. I did, actually, yeah.
Because it gave you the heebie-jeebies, didn't it?
Yeah.
There's an entry form that you need to get in for the Times Business Awards. Entries are now open for the sixth Times Business Awards, which returns this year with 10 category prizes, including an overall outstanding business of the year, which is up for grabs. And then businesses in and around Tunbridge Wells will attend the Black Tie Awards on March the 30th, hosted by journalist and radio presenter Nick Ferrari.
All right, there you go.
The winning businesses, chosen from those shortlisted for the gala event at the Science Theatre at Salomon's Estate. Where's that?
Seven Oaks.
Salomon's Estate. So no doubt there'll be a history lesson on that later. Will be chosen by this year's panel of judges. So the judges come from a range of sectors and each has been selected to bring their own unique insight into not only what makes a good company, but also what makes a good business for the local area. Each year, judges read through hundreds of entries to create a shortlist in each category before thrashing out the final winners.
They thrash it out, don't they?
They thrash it out. Among the new categories is a special award for charities and not-for-profit organisations. That could be you, Natalie.
Fantastic.
Entry forms can be downloaded, timesbusinessawards.co.uk, and they must be submitted by February the 20th.
Yeah, what about this? You're like this, Natalie.
May we?
Applause Rural Touring and Frittenden Events present Time and Again Theatre Earwig. Time and Again Theatre perform this funny and fast-paced new writing incorporating illustrated projections in the style of the 1920s silent movies. Earwig explores what it meant to be deaf in the early 20th century against the Art Deco decadence of the interwar years. Earwig tells the story of Marigold Webb, whose research into Beatles, that's the animals, not the pop group, is unparalleled, but as a deaf woman in 1927, her work was largely ignored. Combining the weird, wonderful world of entomology with Marigold's fight to be heard amongst flappers, jazz and the overbearing husband, Earwig is written by deaf and neurodivergent writer Laura Crowe, and it's a very powerful piece of theatre. Applause works largely with voluntary network of community hosts who bring performance and creativities to their local communities. Their work is valued by providing accessible and affordable access to cultural experiences throughout Kent and Sussex. And this is taking place from yesterday, the 23rd of January, up until the 29th of January. So there's a performance every night. It's only £10 and there's a concession at £6. And it's at the Frittenden Memorial Hall, the Street Frittenden. And you can find out all about it and book your ticket by going to applause.org.uk/ What's On Earwig. So that's applause.org.uk/ What's On Earwig.
Fed up residents say that their town has plunged into a pothole.
Plunged, because it plummeted.
Plunge. Do you know what? Potholes driving.
Oh, then.
And you know,
nightmare.
When today I signalled right and moved out, there was a stationary bus. So I moved out and then went straight into a great big pothole.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it?
I would have avoided had I not had to move out. So, yeah. Anyway, fed up residents say their town has plunged into a pothole.
It's plummeted into a pothole.
As roads continue to crack up, leaving drivers with expensive repair bills. This is in Tenterden, apparently, so bad that one campaigner, Paul Andrews, has launched a petition calling on Kent County Council to fill in more than 60 reported potholes. Particular concerns have been raised over a continuous patch of potholes in East Cross, which appeared in recent days So they're like the great sinking black hole appearing.
It is. And the council just go, no, they're not deep enough. They are deep enough, thank you.
To ruin your wheels.
Okay. I've had 3 new tyres in 2 months.
You should stop going out, really.
Yeah.
David Ward, Secretary of Tenterden Labour Branch and a road safety campaigner, has described the situation as deadly serious. It's very concerning that there are about 20 potholes in East Cross. The whole road surface is breaking up. There's also some on the pedestrian crossing in St Michael's, which is really dangerous, and Beacon Oak Road off the A28. There's another whole string. Mm. So, yeah, they need to do something. You know, my new husband had a speeding thingy-bobby, and he had to do the speed awareness course.
Really?
I think he was doing like 38 miles an hour in a 30-hour anyway. He's now turned into an evangelist because I was driving and he was going, oh, you're far too close. I said, I've left 3 vehicles, you know, whatever's between the one in front of the motorway. He was going, you've got to count 26 elephants.
Yeah, yeah, or 3 chevrons. Did he do the online course or the...
Yeah. He was doing it all morning. He's become an evangelist of...
Yeah, it is actually an interesting course.
It's a good course, yeah.
It is, because you can tell what a speed limit is without seeing the speed limit. If you know whether there's street lights or an alarm code barrier and stuff like that, it's just a very...
I just wish they'd catch the boy races, because they seem to be catching all these sort of middle-aged, like my new husband, you know, he's 51, doing 38 miles an hour and a 30, and I'm not saying that you should speed, but, you know, I've got boy races that whiz along my road with those awful exhausts that make you... What have they done to the exhaust to make it so noisy? Like, it's makes
they've
you
taken
jump
the
out
baffles out.
It's really annoying. And I think that's illegal, but they never seem to get caught. And the dope drivers as well. Loads of, they smoke hash in our road.
I thought you said goat drivers. I wonder where you said dope drivers.
No, the skunk drivers. Terrible.
Right. Yeah. All right. One more thing to tell you about, and then it's the end of the show. Manana, tomorrow is the Kent Farming Conference 2023.
Should we be saying Deman today? Deman, because Natalie's here. Not Manana, Deman. Deman. Tomorrow, a demand.
Yeah, okay, I got it. I get we're doing it in French. We always do mañana in Spanish, but there you go.
Natalie Beneg is here. Yeah, we must do français.
So tomorrow. Yeah.
Aujourd'hui. Oui.
No, that's today. Aujourd'hui is today. Not tomorrow.
You sorted out.
Yeah. The Kent Farming Conference, which is on tomorrow, will delve into the future of the farming conference, which covering topics such as innovation and sustainability. Happening on Wednesday, the 25th of January, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Kent County Agricultural Society. That's the Detlin Showground. So do pop along there if you're a farmer or interested in agriculture and the work of the agricultural businesses. I think that's it.
Haven't heard much from Terry Thorpe lately, have we? Tezza.
Well, I've had him getting my new car. He's been working. I've had him bogged down. Having him bogged down delivering my new car, which is just 5 months late in coming. Not Terry's fault at all. It's BMW's fault.
He said it's been quite exhausting, but it's a shame that you can't actually drive your car because it's too technical.
It's too technical for me. It arrived last night. I got in it this morning. I thought, I'm not driving that. I can't work it out.
You realised before you bought it?
No.
It's going to be a car that can drive and get in and zoom off.
Yeah, yeah. And it means I've got to sit there for a couple of hours familiarising myself with the flight deck of what looks like the Starship Enterprise.
When I was a JPS girl, they gave me my car was a Team Lotus Esprit Turbo. I was 25 and I went to the agency in High Street, Kensington. He took me round the block. He drove round the block and then just let me at the age of 25 go off in a Lotus Esprit Turbo, which was worth God knows what in those days.
Yeah, but in those days there was only 3 working parts and, you know, it was a steering wheel and a brake and a clutch and a gearbox and that was it.
Quite a lot were written off into fields and things. I kept mine. But they are too complicated cars nowadays.
Far too complicated. And it's a distraction.
Not just cars, even microwaves.
Everything has...
It used to be 2 buttons.
Yeah, exactly.
Power on and off, that was it.
Absolutely. I got a phone call from my mum's carers the other day saying we can't work the microwave, it's making a funny noise, but they'd actually put the convection heater on, not the microwave.
Sweet.
Anyway, we've reached the end of the show. I want to say a huge thank you to our 2 guests today, Mr. Mark Telford of Telford Accountants, the absolutely gorgeous Natalie Beneg of Kent Creative, my stonkingly gorgeous co-host Jill Serkin. We'll be back with another show next week.
Bye-bye
for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.